Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazio, Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, will join us here in a moment. The Leafs are back in action tonight in Winnipeg. Nick Foligno making his debut on a line alongside Matthews and Marner. So it has the chance to be kind of a storybook type of evening. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he scored tonight. Just, he kind of has that vibe to him. Like, the name, he's wearing his dad's hat of, you know, back in the 90s. And
dude, I tell you, you get in that position with two talented players like that, and you're going to, you see with Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman's really talented. He's not just hardworking. But if you do your job and you get to pucks and you give them to the skill guys and then go to the net and do your thing, you get a lot of looks, man. You get a lot of rebounds. You get a lot of open looks because everyone's so hyper-focused on Matthews with that shot and Marner with the skill and the playmaking ability. You could get yourself into some situations where you're like, I'm going to have a field day out there. And that's what his job is, to go out there and do the dirty work first and see if the field day can happen after that.
I'd like to, like, if he scores, do you want to see him do that jump?
Yes.
I feel like
he'll do
it. And then what'll happen is, like, Masters will write an article on it. We'll have to talk. And he'll have to do it every time. I'm telling you.
You're not doing that one every time in 2021.
The jump is coming.
He has claimed he won't commit to the jump.
No. He's got so much on his mind right now, leaving the family, quarantining, getting the team, meeting the team. He might not even think about it.
That's true.
It also comes down to context of the game, right? Like, if they're down 5-1 and it's 2 minutes left in the third, he taps.
You're not doing that. You're not doing the Matt Duchene in Colorado.
No.
What if it's an OT winner? Is he jumping?
Oh, jump through the sky. Absolutely. You should jump through the roof. I think that's the only way it should be expected.
OT winner.
He scores an OT winner tonight. Jump. You got to jump like Mike. You got to jump like the old man. Because, like, Mike Foligno had the bucket and the celebration. Like, you talk about cornering the market in terms of just memories and kind of having your own thing that people recognize. Smart play, man. That's
a
smart marketing
bucket,
play.
It was an ugly bucket. It was one of the worst buckets. Like, but he endeared him. Like, he's an awesome guy. I'm sure you've met him. Oh, like, Hayes, have you ever met
I believe. We've interviewed him before.
Awesome.
Yeah, seems like a great guy.
Well, their whole family is. They're quality people. They're just
quality
salt of the earth. But the bucket, I think he knew how awfully it was, and he embraced it. Like, maybe there was a safety factor to it because the padding was so thick. Like, didn't it seem like it was a giant, like, thick padding?
Yeah, it was a monster bucket. Like, there's no dancing around that. I mean, it was an outrageous helmet.
Right.
In an era where there really weren't that many great-looking helmets back then. Like, the one you guys always talk about, the CCM standard helmet, was a good-looking helmet. You know?
Right.
It was such a pleasure to get that thing and put it on with no visor or cage. Mm-hmm. It was just – and you're leaving it in the room for warm-up. It was like, I've made it. The CCM is mine.
Yeah. It was exclusively the NHL, basically, right?
Like, you know what? I had it before, man, because it was a big college look with the cage. That helmet with the bubble cage, Michigan State, Michigan, like, that was a big look. So a bunch of teams in the midget league, they all had that cooking. So I was familiar with the CCM beforehand.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, well, there you go. But if it wasn't the standard CCM, basically it was a bad helmet. You know, like, essentially, you're looking at a bad helmet, you know. Like, the greatest player of all time had a bad helmet. Like, Gretzky's bucket, that's a bad helmet.
It's like, even, like, some guys, like Keith Acton and Kenny Linsman, they pulled off the Messier bucket. But I'm like, I'm not wearing the Messier bucket. My head would look so round. I'm just not doing it.
Right.
It's like, it's got to be the CCM.
Well, some guys look good in it. Some guys just didn't. But I think of Hawk and Lube. There were some bad helmets back in the day. Like Hawk and Lube, I don't know if you remember that guy.
They're
Butchie Goring.
Butchie,
I don't even know what the hell.
Brutal helmet.
Wasn't that made of felt or something? Like, it was
honestly,
weird...
it looks like he scalped a pool table and wrapped it around a squash.
Right.
And it was brutal. Like, there were just some, you know, and listen, technology played a factor in that. Like, back in the day when only some guys wore helmets and, you know, 80% of the league didn't have a helmet on. It's just the weirdest transition, I think, in sports history, maybe, in terms of just equipment and the evolution of equipment. That era in the 80s, you know, late 70s into the early to mid 90s, when it went from predominantly no helmet to about 50-50, and then at the end there were like 10 guys still not wearing a helmet. And just so weird. So goofy to see. On like Leafs TV, they'll show it. They'll show a game from like 1989 and literally, you know, 33 of the 36 guys.
I took face-offs against Craig McTavish.
And I'm played like, with him.
Yeah, I wanted to say to him, dude, I'm looking at your curly hair off the face-off right now. Like, where's your helmet? How the hell are you playing in the best league in the world with no bucket on?
Not even the best league in the world. The most physical.
I'm told you this.
Craig McTavish one time, right in front of the bench, got hit headfirst into the boards. He had no helmet on.
It's incredible. Guys,
he just like, got up and skated it, away.
Like, taking it hard to the net, like wide post, and just getting buried.
Imagine like a young guy practicing with him saying, hey, you forgot your helmet, bud. He's like, actually, no, I don't actually have one.
I don't own a helmet.
I
so
don't
understand.
Own.
There's not one that's like mine. I don't know where on
to
earth.
Me.
Oh, you can just tell him, go back and try to find mine, please.
Yeah.
Hurry up.
Like, yeah. No, you don't understand, man. Like, I don't have it anywhere. Here's Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Would you concede that too, Dregs? I mean, you're a guy that's into a lot of different sports. The transition from no helmet to helmet, that 15 to 20-year period, late 70s to early 90s, it's just so weird. It's such a goofy evolution.
Yeah. And you're right.
It's still on tape. You can still see it from time to time.
I know. It's nuts. But I'm listening to you guys talk about MacT, and so I'll give you a little bit of history, and this probably won't surprise you, because if you played against Craig McTavish, then you played against Kelly Buchberger, who I grew up with in Langenberg, Saskatchewan. One of the off seasons, and it might have been the year, whatever year it was, there was only one of them where Buchberger scored 20 goals. And Slats, you know, obviously he didn't have any sort of bonus structure in his contract. He's just hanging on for dear life. So Slats gave him like two brand new skidoos, that like just as a gesture of good faith. So that offseason, we're hanging out at Carlton Trail Golf Course, which is right between Langenberg and Spy Hill. And Spy Hill, Saskatchewan, is the home of Jeff Odgers. And we get in one, and it's late at night. We're on the beach near this little park. And Bucky decides, and Buchberger and McTavish are really, really good buddies. So I know Craig very well on a different level. But Bucky decides he wants to wrestle. Well, I'm the idiot that puts his hand up to say, yeah, I'll wrestle you. How bad can it be?
Yeah.
Well, I get a lucky kind of twist on him, and I put him in a fireman's carry over my shoulder, and down he goes. And, I mean, it was like grabbing a tiger by the tail because he gets up, and he's pissed, and he's embarrassed. And I don't – so instantly he goes, fifths, as in a question, fifths. I don't even get to answer. And he splits my nose wide open.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
As if it's your fault. He offered the the wrestling plan.
Yeah. And I was the only guy who stupidly, of course, put his hand up. Said, I mean, how bad is it going to be? He's going to pin me in 30 seconds and it'll be game over. I just happened to get a little bit of lucky leverage on him. And the next thing I know, fists and butch, and I'm laying on the ground, and I'm bleeding like a stuck pig. So as soon as I heard you guys talk about MacT and buckets, that was the memory that came to mind.
Yeah, that one would probably stick around. I'm not that surprised about that. That's a tough outcome. But you got, I mean, listen, you got the start. You got the hop on them, so you've always got that part of the story that you got to push. So we've heard from the, I guess, the Quizmaster. Came across the stat about McDavid. Yes, about the primary points.
Yeah, 17 primary assists.
Yeah, so, well, what he's got is he's got 63 primary points. He's got 25 goals and 38 first assists, which puts him at 63 primary points. The only guy in the league who has more total points is Draisaitl. So, in other words, if you made it a rule, McDavid cannot qualify for a second assist, Not allowed. Cannot happen. He'd still be second in points, which is a pretty incredible stat to dig up, and credit to the Quizmaster for finding that. But it really puts into perspective what this guy's doing. I mean, it's just, it's outrageous, isn't it?
It's other world, but, you know, to try and you know, throw a little shade at the Quizmaster, he also thinks that second assist shouldn't count. They don't matter. Like those
I have
don't.
Never heard him say that, Darren.
I have.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You know how he gets on a tangent. God. Like
he thinks they're garbage points. They don't count. Now, that's the extreme. But so just, and Brian, with all due respect, I don't know how that information got to you via the Quizmaster, whether it was directed to you or it came through Noodles or it came through ODOG or somewhere else. So I get a call at 7:45 a.m., and the Quizmaster is fired up. Like, he is planting this seed. And I was probably the second call. He probably called Dave Poulin first. So he was hot and bothered and so excited about what he had just discovered in terms of Connor McDavid's 17 assists, a primary assist. So that is the aside to what Connor McDavid is doing on a game-in and game-out basis, which is annihilating you know, other teams' defensive approaches and whatnot. I mean, what he's doing is extraordinary. We know this, but I kind of feel like we probably would know that or pay attention to what's going on without the Quizmaster's help, but I'm just trying to keep him in perspective here.
Yeah, well, it's, again, I mean, we every once in a while we circle back to the Hart Trophy, and I don't see how it goes to anyone but McDavid.
Like, I agree. The only way I could say, if you want to get back at the Quizmaster, just challenge anything with the Canadiens' history. Like, if you said, you know what, Maurice Richard had a bunch of second assists in 1957. Just let's get those out of the history books.
Yep.
Like, he'll crawl through the phone and sucker you. Like,
no kidding. If you ever, and I don't know that there would be one, and God rest his soul, legendary Jean Béliveau, if you ever say anything even remotely negative about Jean Béliveau as a player or as a human being.
Or Paul Kariya.
That would be, you're right. Paul Kariya is in that conversation, too. The Quizmaster, he gets surly at that point.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
understandable. I mean, you got to have a team. You got to have a player that you go to war on. And those are, you know, not bad options. I will say that. The history they have kind of speaks itself. We were obviously discussing the decision by Sheldon Keefe to go with Foligno tonight on a line with Matthews and Marner. And I like it. I think it's about, you know, he's a veteran. He'll be ready to go. He's not going to play 20 minutes tonight, but give him a taste, give him a shot. And I think he's embracing it very well. And I expect him to fit in very well, you know, starting tonight.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Brian. And look, I mean, you can count me among perhaps not many in the group who are skeptical of Joe Thornton at the start of the season hanging in there on that line long term. I just didn't see it from a 41-year-old player. And I will give Jumbo his full respect for this. He managed to stay on that line a lot longer than I was expecting. And I'm not questioning the signing of Joe Thornton even a little bit. I think he's a great ad, but I just didn't think he'd be able to keep up right out of the gate. And he did. Like, he provided some boost to that line. I don't think there's any doubt of that. Has there ever been a better time to try something fresh and new than there is right now? This team is in a funk. They're in a funk. I mean, be it goaltending, defensive coverage as a group, whatever. You know, you guys can slice and dice the analysis of the Toronto Maple Leafs better than I'm going to do here. It's just, you're injecting, you know, a real good player into your lineup. The expectation of Leafs Nation is that Nick Foligno, whatever role he plays, is going to be positive. So why not throw him right up with the top dogs out of the gate and see what happens? And, you know, if they have success, as I expect they will, then you roll with it for a bit. You know, I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not at all surprised by it, and I think that those three are going to have success.
Dregs, you wonder if Jumbo could literally create a position moving forward. He might have to, like, do some work, like work on the power play and help some young guys, but just to be around. Like, just to be around, come in the locker room, have a coffee, It's just like having that guy that's around and keeps everybody loose and everybody loves him. I think it's so valuable.
Yeah. And I think he's okay with that. Oh, that's my sense. Yeah.
Now, I was talking more when he's retired, like just say, hey, I'd like to be around the guys, help out where I can. I think that would be a terrific position in the future.
It's called assistant coach. That's what some guys do.
No.
Yeah, then it gets too legit, doesn't it? Then, you know, you're potentially having a squeak in the head coach's ear, and maybe that gets a little bit more delicate. I hear you, and I think that he'd be great at it because he's got such a good connection with all of those players. You know, I'm thinking of Milan Lucic in Calgary, and, you know, you guys, again, you can probably talk more on this, not that I'm deflecting, but Lucic is different in that he grew up in the environment in Boston, and he learned the old school way, even though, you know, he's not that old now. But then he had to transition into other rooms where he is the more experienced guy, and he doesn't have the same connection with the young Oilers. That he maybe does now with some of the Calgary Flames group. And that can be tough on those guys, right? Joe just seems to roll with it. Like he's as happy rollerblading in Vancouver with Austin Matthews that he would be, you know, doing whatever he's going to do as a 41, 42-year-old man. Like, he's just loving life. So whatever they can do to keep him in the organization, I think it's going to be a benefit. I just wonder from a lifestyle perspective, what Joe and his family have in store. Maybe it's hanging around Ontario. Maybe it's going back to Switzerland and enjoying life there too. I think that whatever opportunity he wants to pursue, it's going to be there because that's how valuable a person he is, and the history in his game speaks for itself.
I agree. I just don't think that the one thing, like, we forget, he's set financially. I don't know if he wants to hang around. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he might be, I think he wants to hang around the rink or a little bit, but he might get to a point where he's like, if I'm retiring, I want to take on a different challenge. I am going to go back to Switzerland. I'm going to go to San Jose and, you know, I don't know if he has a family. I'm sure he does, but you know, that type of stuff, like your priorities change. Whereas hanging around a team or being around a team, it's a grind sometimes, like having to be there every day. Like, you know, mentorship is different. But I look at a guy like Thornton. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. Does he want to play another year? That's the other thing.
I would be surprised. I mean, based on
him. You said it, Hayes. Yeah.
Him pushing his energy level. Listen, he's not in it for the money anymore. And if he's pursuing a cup, and if they don't win it, and he gets an opportunity to go wherever it might be, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, but listen, he's still playing. He's still a part of the program. They've got 10 games left, and we're still trying to figure out how the playoffs are going to work out here in the North. And you've got some interesting details on that, Dregs, in terms of how this could work out.
In a perfect world, and I can't imagine it's going to be perfect given the pandemic anytime soon, and that's my playoff time here. You know, you do have borders open, and you do have business resuming as close to whatever normal could be between Canada and the U.S., so that's probably the least likely of the scenarios. The other one would be, as we've talked about before, you adopt a U.S. city for the North Division champion, and that team would stay in that city for both the conference final and the potential Stanley Cup final. And then the third one, which is interesting, is all four Canadian playoff teams would play out of one venue in the United States. And then, you know, the teams that advance stay in that venue. And really, that becomes the North Division representative for both the conference final and the Stanley Cup championship. I mean, those are the three primary things that are being considered. But every time I ask the question and I push on it, the NHL keeps saying, look, man, we're not even close to making that decision. And they're not.
Why don't they just have the Canadian teams play in Canada and then have a neutral site for the Final Four instead of so nobody can have an advantage? And it's like, hockey fan, fill the barn. Everybody get vaccinated at the neutral site. And away you go, Final Four. Good idea? Bad idea?
Not a bad idea. I wonder if they like the idea of splitting venues from a revenue perspective, right? So you're getting gates in two cities instead of one.
Dregs, who's going to go watch the Calgary Flames in Minnesota or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, how do they get a gate if they're the team that goes down there?
I don't know, man. I think, you know, again, I can only speak from a Canadian perspective, and you're talking about U.S. soil here. I just feel like you put a live sporting event on and you open the doors, whatever capacity it is, in whatever state it is, I think people show up. But
well, why don't they just do it with proximity? If Toronto gets in, yeah. Buffalo's their home barn. Done.
Yeah, Buffalo, maybe Chicago, right? Like, I tried to nail the league down on that today, just trying to hammer out what the cities are. Buffalo is obvious because of, you're right, proximity. Chicago, maybe, you know. So, but, again, the league is willing to somewhat allow speculation on the scenarios we've discussed, but not willing to hammer out locations yet. They just don't feel like they can do that.
Dregs, you said potentially that, on insider trading, that there might be a change in venue for the Women's Hockey Championship Tournament?
Yeah, I mean, man, that was tough news by the province of Nova Scotia yesterday. Just pulling the rug out at the last second. But that's not to say that there isn't considerable interest in the Women's World Hockey Championship. We know there is. And, you know, reportedly last night, Dallas, you know, they're hosting the under-18s, which is a big event. If they get through that without any sort of issue, you know, could they be a front runner potentially? Finland wants to host. Hockey Canada's received calls from Ottawa. They've received calls from Edmonton. They've received calls from Prince Edward Island. They've received calls from BC, and the want is from a double IHF and a Hockey Canada standpoint to host this thing in late August or early September. So, you know, the great news for the women, and rightfully so, is that this event needs to be played, and it will be played. They just have to sort through all of the aftermath in Nova Scotia with insurance concerns and everything else, the contracts they had. And then they'll meet as early as next week to start identifying the most likely option for playing the event in August or September.
Well, that's good to hear. Let's hope they iron all those details out and we get rocking here because, that was very difficult news to accept yesterday, and it sounds like they won't be accepting that. So we'll find a way to rectify it. That's always good to hear. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. And don't forget, last week was our 10th anniversary. And in honor of TSN 1050's 10th anniversary, Access Storage is giving away a $500 Real Sports Apparel gift card. So you can enter online at tsn1050.ca. Check it out, tsn1050.ca. Access Storage giving away a $500 Real Sports Apparel gift card. That is awesome. And Access Storage is a proud partner of the Toronto Raptors, who won again last night. Ananobi had a great night, Siakam. And it's funny, when you play everybody, like Lowry and like VanVleet and Siakam and Ananobi, and you start getting contributions from guys that maybe you weren't expecting or you didn't have available to you in the past, all of a sudden you start putting together some wins. It's four in a row.
Looked like an NBA team. Looked pretty
good. Funny how that works. You know, and Brooklyn is impossible to get a read on because Harden and Durant aren't playing. Like, Durant, how many games has he played this year? 15 games? Maybe?
Don't talk about my guy because you brought that up at the beginning of the season. You said he's not going to play 30 games.
He's your guy. I understand that. Let me look it up here. He's actually played more than that. He's played 24. Yeah. It's shocking to me that he's played that many games.
Hey, I consider it load management for the big cat.
Well, that's precisely what I'm sure Steve Nash would consider it as well. But, you know, Harden is out for the foreseeable future, and trying to get a read on who they are, what they are, has been really difficult. But, you know, this Raptors team, they've had some impressive wins. They've beaten Brooklyn at home, at Brooklyn when Durant was playing.
Couple at
Milwaukee, at home to Philly.
Dude, you're Joe from the Bridge with the Raps. One day you hate their guts, and the next day you're like, wow.
I have not changed my tune. I'm not happy that they're winning. Like, lose out. Like, this is, to me, it's fool's gold. It's a waste of time, a waste of energy. But I don't play the games. So if they win and they're going to get in, okay, then let's see what you got, you know. But it's still not a guarantee that they will get in. Washington won last night. They're still chasing them. Chicago's a dumpster fire all of a sudden. They can't win any games. But they've still got Chicago, Indiana, Washington on their schedule. They've got a really tough roadie coming up, though. They go through both LA teams, I think through Utah and I think through Phoenix maybe, or Denver. I looked it up last night. It's a tough 4 or 5 game roadie where there's a good chance they won't win any games. And if that's the case, that might drag them back down to reality. But listen, I don't think they're good enough to go on a run, clearly. I think it's in their best interest to wash the season away. I've been very consistent with that. I'm not changing my tune.
No.
But I don't get to play the game. I don't get to make the call. I think Masai Ujiri would prefer lose out, lottery balls, let's go. Because now with these wins, there's only so far you can bottom out. Like the bottom end teams like Detroit, Orlando, Minnesota, like they're so far down. Houston, you can't get there. You can't catch them. So I think the worst they could do is like fifth last, maybe sixth, you know, something like that. And even there, there's no guarantees the lottery balls are going to fall your way. But, you know, I give them credit. Like what happened last night, they didn't shoot that well. They shot very poorly last night, but out-rebounded the opposition. Bunch of points in the paint, which is something they've been lacking all year. You know, they're getting some production from their bigs. And, you know, good for them. And Kem Birch being a part of that. Good Canadian boy that they picked up recently from Orlando after he got bought out. So the Raptors, you know, 4 in a row, we'll see. We'll see where it goes. We'll get back into the Leaf game tonight. I'll look ahead to the Jays at Tampa. There's some updates on Springer, Pearson, Hernandez, and what could end up happening this weekend down at the Trop. So we'll get to that as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
Pretty tough tweet I received today. The Grappler post on the Overdrive account that me and Al's brother are only going to pole vault a meter high, which is completely ridiculous. Like I can get a hockey stick and go over a meter. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Athletics Canada chimes in. Confirmed account, blue check mark, and says, "Don't worry too much, O-Dog 9-2. Practice makes perfect."
Oh, okay. Well, listen, that sounds supportive to me. How did you interpret that?
Let's just be, like, cut the crap, okay? What do you make of it? Because it's not supportive.
I think it is. You know what?
No, it isn't. Stop doing that.
I'm telling you what I think it is. It's support for the idea that you can do it. Like, if you get it, if you put your mind to it, and Athletics Canada is representing the whole country, right? You're a Canadian. I don't think they're biased here. I don't think they're poking fun. I think they're emphasizing and promoting the idea of going after it, going after a dream of pole vaulting higher than a meter or a meter 10, which is what, you know, Alicia Newman suggested yesterday, which is lunacy. That's ludicrous for her to suggest that. And I won't stand for it. I should have pounced at the time, but I didn't.
Should have hung up on her.
Well, I mean, listen, she was very kind with her time. She didn't have to do that for us, so she did. But I think she knows you guys can go a lot higher than that. And I think that's what Athletics Canada is suggesting, that they believe you have a better opportunity. You know, and if you put your mind to it, you can figure this out. You and Al's brother.
I don't know. I believe you can. I just am. I believe it's a lot of, like, technique and. We have no technique. I don't know. Have you ever pole vaulted in your life? Have you ever done anything like that? I high jumped when I was in, like, junior high.
High jumping is really difficult to do. Like, it's a really, like, you gotta pace yourself. You've got to jump at the right time. You've got to control your body in the air.
Yeah.
You know, presence of mind in terms of making sure no body parts hit the pole. I mean,
it's tough. I was terrible at it.
Yeah.
But
I can't emphasize this enough. I think pole vaulting might be the most difficult sport. Like, actually the most difficult sport. You know, outside of maybe like a marathon if you're incapable of running that or whatever, but track and field?
What would be the easiest? Like shot putting?
Yeah.
I feel like that would be tough.
It would be tough to compete with the best, clearly, but that applies to any sport, right? Like, you can't just walk into the NHL or the NFL and say, I'm playing here. But yeah, shot put, if you're capable of throwing the thing more than a foot, and you can compete in that. And Al's brother told us on the air a couple of weeks ago that was his go-to event. He was a field guy, right? Like, track was not in his wheelhouse, but field, he loved field.
The discus? I feel like the discus, you spin around, and then you just end up wiring it into the stands,
exactly.
Not into the field.
Yeah,
Exactly. The javelin.
I think Al's javelin. Brother would be good at the discus. Is that where you spin yourself into a top and just chuck the thing?
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, the shot put, you put it right against your face, I do believe, correct? You like, and then dig down and launch it forward. But the javelin, like they're
javelin's
all...
dangerous, man. Javelin,
dude,
I think...
take your own face off with the javelin.
Yeah, I'm not messing around with a javelin.
No
like
way.
That's not something I'm willing to do.
Well, who am I kidding? Pole vaulting ultimately scares the hell out of me. Like, it's not like it's you're getting up there, man.
Dude,
we gotta cancel the pole vaulting.
No, we can't. We gotta be committed, even if it's a meter for just for the sake of it. Just even if you guys step over the thing holding the pole vault, then it works, you know. And Alicia Newman, I think, is fairly committed to making this happen. And Athletics Canada, I think. This would suggest they want to be on board, too. They want to emphasize the idea that you two can figure this out. So don't let this dream die yet, okay? Maybe down the road, that's fine, but it just
we have to try. I guess we have to try it. That's
it. Yeah, absolutely.
We got to try it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll find a way to make it work. But, it's been a weird week with different content like that, like Alicia Newman coming on, which we appreciate greatly. She's got, like, hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram. So... you know, I think she was promoting our Instagram account, so we'll take that. Grappler's probably looking for a raise because we maybe picked up a couple dozen followers that are like, yeah, let's see what these guys are all about. That'll last a week before we get unfollowed.
We got sent that Overdrive memes or whatever where the Ditka face had just morphed into O's face. It was actually kind of creepy to look at that.
Uncanny.
It was.
Well, and someone sent us a note that Ditka is from Pittsburgh, which I did not know. But maybe that would explain it.
Dude, that's not the point. He's 50 years 80. Older than
he's
me.
81 years old. I get it. But, yeah, I'm looking at it. He's from Carnegie, Pennsylvania, which I believe is a suburb of Pitt. So he's like a legend in Pittsburgh and Chicago. So maybe they're looking at you like, hey, maybe you were Mike Ditka Jr. or something like that. Maybe that's what they were suggesting.
No. When, he looked me dead in the face and said, I know who you are. You're Mike Ditka.
Well.
So it wasn't his son. It wasn't Mike Ditka Jr. It was Mike Ditka.
Okay. All right,
that's fair.
All right.
That's fair.
Fine. I'm not going to fight you on that.
But I do know what I'm going for my next Halloween. I'm just getting the brow or the Bears sleeveless vest, growing a stash, and slicking the hair back. And
it's perfect for you. Yeah, it's perfect. Like that old vest is synonymous with him. Like we're talking about Foligno and his helmet and a jump. Like that is, you got the aviator glasses on with the vest and the stash. That's Ditka. Just putting forth the 46 defense and running teams into the ground.
Maybe I got to get the vest. Maybe I got to get the vest for like, you guys just tell me when we need to pump things up or a big day, the day before you say you got to go Ditka vest and I wear it with a tie.
Yes, he always wore a tie underneath.
The day before the playoffs for the Leafs game one, you got to come in with a mustache and a vest and have your tie on underneath.
Yep.
You have to grow the mustache that week leading up to it. Like just we won't say a word, but then all of a sudden you just show up with a thick mustache, and either the day of if we have a show that day or the day before
inspirational
you pump up
speech, courtesy
inspiration.
Of
we want a speech.
He's got it. He had the gritty voice and like he's a
gritty
guy. Cigar, quick, like a quick-witted guy, but also like blunt.
Not shy,
he's
not
on ESPN
shy.
For a long time. He was a guy that would always come on shows. Like I've interviewed him a bunch of times, and you'd send him a text, and he would respond. And I remember sending him a text once, and I sent him a note. Hey, Mike, like, I send this big diatribe, which is totally unnecessary. Brian Hayes, Toronto, blah, blah, blah. Would you mind coming on? And he just writes back in all caps, call me. That was it. That was his response. And I remember sitting there thinking it through deeply. Does he mean call him right now to confirm this?
Yes, that's what that means.
Yeah.
Or did he mean call me at that time? Because I've accepted the invitation. Call me at 5:30.
That is a good point, yeah.
So I'm sitting there thinking to myself, if I call this guy and he didn't tell me to call, I'm done. Because he's going to be like, what are you, a dope, you idiot? No, I'm not coming on with you now. You're wasting my time.
Right.
So I sat there in my chair for like 10 minutes thinking this through. Every angle. I'm like, what does this mean? I can't text him back Because it's Ditka. Like, this guy's
what you just said now.
You could have texted him and said, call you now or
now?
When it's
question
time
mark?
For the interview.
Not with a guy like that. I feel like that gets flushed, or like a coach says, you're a dopey idiot if you don't understand what I'm saying. Like, it would have been my fault that he would have held that against me. So I gambled. And I said, I'm going to call him live at the show when I said I'd call him, whatever time it was. And I call him and he picks up and he's quick. He's just like, let's go. Basically like, yes, I don't care for your little preamble. I know who it is. I get it. Let's go. Put me on hold. And
you didn't ask him if
he's
seen Copperfield.
No, it wasn't.
There had to have been a part of you. There had to have been a part of you that says there's no way in hell that this guy's answering.
I was
terrified.
99% sure he wasn't going to answer. Or if he did, he was going to say, idiot, I told you to call me earlier. I can't do this time, but you didn't call me. And I said I was going to do the 4 p.m. hour, but now it's 6:05 and you're calling
me. That was a veteran read on the situation.
I couldn't believe it worked out. Like, because all caps, older guy, as you're familiar with, like we've referenced here, all caps just call me. Not yes, not I can do it, sounds good. Thumbs up, call me, capital letters. And I'm like, I guess I'm calling him and we'll see what happens.
That's probably one of the most famous guys you've interacted with.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm very lucky and fortunate.
We are lucky
to have this job where we do get to interact with a lot of really cool people. But going right to the source, absolutely. Texting him, calling him, interviewing him.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, Ditka, I remember asking him about gambling. Like, I've run into a wall a few times with gambling questions to people.
Ask Bill. Remember the Bill Daly you badgered for like...
I was badgering Bill for a while. Bill's a really good guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And even Bettman last time he was on, I was badgering him about gambling. And, you know, that it's just kind of comes with the territory, I guess. But I remember asking Ditka that question. I'm like, when you were coaching or playing, were you aware of the spread? And he was like so insulted by the question.
You're anti-gambling.
Anybody that bets on sports deserves it would be made a fool out of it. Next.
That was Ditka.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Mullen just scooped that up. That was on TSN radio. How many years ago, Mullen? Come on to Mike and tell us how you found out about that.
I think it was on Hayes' show.
Let's hear that again. Play it
again. That was 7 or 8 years ago.
You're anti-gambling.
Anybody that bets on sports deserves it would be made a fool out of it. Next.
Next.
The best is the next at the
next,
end.
Wow. Next question.
He
next.
Was so insulted. I don't remember it like that. I didn't realize it got to that. What am I doing badgering him about being anti-gambling, too? Like, what a dopey idiot. No wonder. That's why I didn't call him, because I'm like, this guy's going to immediately label me as an idiot. And he probably would have been correct.
That is one of the greatest drops I've ever heard on this station.
What a
period.
Pull. What
we
a
play it again. Play it again, Mulls.
You're anti-gambling.
Anybody that bets on sports deserves it would be made a fool out of it. Next.
I don't remember next, but I must have been panicked at that point. I must have looked at Mullen and been like, should I continue or do I let this guy go?
Wow.
Next. That's what you're dealing with Ditka, though. Like, that's him. That's a coach, grizzled, veteran, tight end, Chicago Bears, steak, cigars, mustaches, you know, ties under a sweater vest. Next. Like, dare you? Like, he was insulted when I pulled. I thought it was a reasonable question. Just curious. Like, were you aware of the spread? That's it. Not that you gambled. I'm not accusing you of being Pete Rose. Just, did you know, hey, the Bears are at the Packers tonight. We're a 3-point dog. Like, what's
next.
Wrong with having that information?
Next.
And, oh, my goodness.
That is I can't believe Mulls just pulled that.
That clearly says something about that interaction, that Mullen remembered it and archived that and said, a day will come when we start talking about the old dog, Mike Ditka, and it'll be.
That is. I mean, there's got to be a drop. When you mentioned Ditka, there's got to be a file where he's like, I got to go to this because this was one of the greatest drops I've ever heard in my life.
That's
got
to be 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
I'm shocked we've never played that before. Like, I in anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times has there been ridiculous takes on this show by all three of us where you could have that play right away?
Dude, that, like, think about the ones I've run into. Burke on Copperfield.
Yeah.
Ditka, like I'm sensing a trend here. Old, grizzled veteran, you know, guys who are constantly kind of dour and not in the mood, even though they're willing to give their time. That's the thing I credit. You know, we say what we say about Burke and Ditka. They'd always come on.
Yeah.
You know, like Berkey always was willing to do interviews. Ditka always willing to come on. But just forthright. Next.
Yeah. Love it. And then, who was the supermodel that hung up on you? I can't remember the actress.
That was Megan Fox.
Megan Fox.
She hung up on me. Brutus the Barber Beefcake, which is his birthday, I think, yesterday. He was rattled because I was being a smart ass with him.
Wow. You ask him, like, how do you want to be referred to?
Yeah. Like, what's your name? Are you Brutus? Are you the Beefcake? What's your real... It was really stupid. Like, it was amateur hour. That was early on in TSN radio. It's shocking I'm still here. Like, we've been around for 10 years.
Imagine
in your job, if you interacted with someone of serious status, and this was part of the interaction.
You're anti-gambling.
Anybody that bets on sports deserves it would be made a fool out of. Next.
So just reviewing your portfolio here. Ditka, Burke, Beefcake.
I love it.
Yeah.
That is the greatest ever.
Yeah, that's a good poll. There it is. Hey, Mike. Brian Hayes in TSN Radio Toronto. Think you can come on? Call me.
Yeah.
Badger, how about gambling? Next.
That's awesome. I love that.
We'll come back and get back into the Leafs Jets tonight. We'll do that next. All right, the Leafs are in action tonight in Winnipeg, taking on the Jets, and it'll be Jack Campbell back in net tonight. And we've focused more on Foligno and his debut, but as much as I am interested to see that, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he fits into the fold, Campbell is really the important piece here, right?
Yep.
Like, Jack Campbell's got to have a bounce back. And after what Sheldon Keefe said a couple of nights ago, the spotlight is on the goaltending.
Yeah, that's you don't usually hear a coach say, we need better goaltending. Like, you never hear that.
Yeah. I got to be honest, I didn't like it. He was truthful, but I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, you know what it does is it separates you. Like, you know, the goalie, those guys listen to everything too. They're part of the team. And then you got the coach going, okay, you know what? Like, that's how you want to put us on an island here? I didn't like it. I really, and that's the goalie in me.
Maybe there's some old school, or you hope there's some old school belief where the goalies can just rally behind it, Jamie, and just say, you know what, let's get our heads out of our asses here.
True.
Because you got to admit, when they play well, they get their tires pumped more than anybody. Fred Zilla, Jack Campbell, without them, we had no chance. You know, just a little pee-pee smack, and let's get back at it.
I agree. I rarely see a coach go public with it. You could say it. You could come into the room and go, hey, I need a save here. Let's go. And like, we've all had coaches come in and, you know, you give a little jolt here or there to a player. It happens. But a lot of times, for the most part, that coach will go out and, you know, he wears the shield. And he's like, you know what? We win as a team and lose as a team. Like, he flat out said, like, you know what? We need a save.
I'll bet you he'd like that one back.
My
guess would be he probably got off the podium. And I wouldn't be surprised if the PR team was like, that one's going to blow up back home. Like, that one's going to catch.
He's not wrong. Like,
no, he's
I'm
not,
not disagreeing
he's not wrong,
with him.
But he was being emotional.
Right.
You know, like, he was really like, goalies need to be better, which is something, again, we don't see that often, but there's a reason
hey,
we don't see
screw it. We hear so much garbage from these guys about nonsense and saying nothing. It's got to be said. Everyone else gets carved. Oh, power play sucks, or this guy sucked, or whatever. Come out with it, man.
Absolutely
come out with
the
it.
Truth. But there's a reason why it's not a part of the playbook. You know, it's there's a reason the greatest coaches of all time generally approach that position differently.
I agree. Like, I don't disagree with his comments because
they've been bad.
Correct.
Goalies haven't been good enough. That's for sure.
He's correct. It's rare that you see him say it. Like, most coaches would be like, you know what, yeah, you know, Riddick had a tough night, but, you know, I'd like this to happen. Like, it was like, basically, we lost because of that guy, and that's it.
That was essentially what it was. It was pretty harsh.
Like,
yeah, no,
it was true.
It was very pointed. Like, right. It was specifically that. It was, I like our group, I like the way we played. Goalie's not good enough. In other words, don't waste your time talking about anyone else. Talk about the goaltenders.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what we've done for 48 hours. And, you know, we'll see. Now, Campbell goes back in tonight. I would think regardless of how it plays out, he goes back in Saturday too. You know, I think that's a lesson that Keith probably learned. Like, Riddick maybe isn't quite comfortable yet here or whatever, and you got to get Campbell rolling until Freddie returns. So, Leafs Jets tonight, and the Jays are off. The Raptors are off. Jays back in action this weekend. Springer may return. Not likely, but he might. Pearson's getting closer. Hernandez is getting closer. So some of the injuries are starting to be resolved here. And it's going to be a big series down at the Trop starting tomorrow. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at...
Ditka was right. You're a fraud. Next, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Next.